slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to the Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes, thanking you for tuning in one more time this Sunday morning. You're so kind to give me a few moments of your time. Remember, our show is about motivation and inspiration, education, without any manipulation, which means we don't ask for money, we're not soliciting funds, we're not trying to sell you anything. We're just trying to give you some information that will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And obviously, if you can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. But the plan starts with you receiving Christ as your Savior. That's the single most significant decision that you could ever make. The best news you could ever hear is that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, redeemed you and me out of the slave market of sin. So he paid our debt to God, and we are free from the penalty of death and the power of sin in our life. We don't have to go to the lake of fire, and we don't have to let sin control our life. There is an alternative. There's a new way to live, not letting the sin nature dominate our life. It's the spiritual life. And it's empowered by two things, by the Word of God in your soul and by means of the Holy Spirit who directs you to the Word of God and convicts you when you sin. So that decision to believe in Jesus Christ is the open door to reboot your life, to start it again. That's why the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, all things become new. So God, as we say so many times on this show, gave us two different ends. One of those ends we sit with, and the other one we think with. And success in our lives depends on which one that we use. Heads, well, we win. Tails, we lose. That's why 2 Peter 3:18 tells us, if we are Christians, that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow is a verb, and it means to increase. It's an imperative mood verb, which means it's a command. And thus we have the Flatline Radio Show. I'm not a pastor. I'm simply a person that can point you to a pastor. I'm an evangelist. It's my job to evangelize and to give accurate Bible information, hopefully to identify the positive volition that may be listening this morning. If you're positive to the Word of God and you want to learn and grow, then you're listening to the right show. But again, you're going to have to get under a well-qualified pastor. I was fortunate enough many years ago as God the Holy Spirit directed me to a man who taught me so much. And so much of what I give you, I learned under his ministry. Today, that church continues to prosper and thrive in Houston, and everything that's taught there is available free of charge. And not only at that church, but many, many others that I'm aware of. Most of them are small, non-denominational congregations. But the information is accurate. The information is true. And you can study at home with your Bible, with a notebook, with a cup of coffee early in the morning or a glass of tea in the evening. If you don't have a good church close by where you can get instruction, then this is one way you can do it. And this is the way I've been doing it for years, listening every morning to my pastor teach me the Word of God. And we are currently, you've heard me say, in a study of the life of Christ, and we're up in around 1,300 hours studying the life of Christ. It's amazing when you find a pastor that can take care of the sheep, because I'm just a dumb sheep, and I need a good pastor to instruct me, to watch over me, to give me information. And hopefully some of that information I can pass along to you. So we started studying last week about your volition. This is what we said, that God gave you a soul. And in your soul, there's mentality and volition There's a conscience and a self-consciousness. You have volition. It's a free thing God gave you. It's the chooser. You first saw it demonstrated when God told Adam and Eve, you can have anything in the garden, but don't mess with that tree over there. Leave that tree alone. That was a volitional choice that Eve made to disobey God. And Adam made a volitional choice to do the same thing when he partook of the fruit itself. You and I must make good decisions. Bad decisions limit future options. And the bad decision that Adam made cast all of us underneath the penalty of sin and death. Because the Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death has passed upon all. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. A lot of people get confused, and they think that bad things send people to hell. Fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, drug addicts, that's what sends people to hell. That's not true. What sends people to hell is the fact that they are in Adam. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. You are born spiritually dead. And that's why you have to be born again or made spiritually alive. So you can't have a relationship with God if you're dead spiritually. So look at it this way. You have a body and a soul, but you have a dead human spirit until you come to Christ and believe in Christ. When you receive Him as your Savior by a simple act of faith and maybe expressing it through prayer, then your spirit, which has been dead and dormant, is indwelled by the Holy Spirit and born again. You're made spiritually alive. This sets up a conflict, the flesh versus the spirit. Galatians talks about that, the flesh versus the spirit, spirit versus the flesh. There's a war constantly going on, and it is, and that's about who's going to control your volition. Are you going to think in terms of human viewpoint, or are you going to acquire the mind of Christ and think in terms of divine viewpoint? Human viewpoint is always relative. It's always expedient. It's always anything but factual. Divine viewpoint, on the other side, is concrete, solid, sound. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. It's not debatable. It's not situational ethics. It's this is it. And that's a wonderful thing because it takes the monkey off of your back and puts it on the Lord's back. Let's see, I got to make a decision. Flip a coin, heads I win, tails I lose. Or what does the Bible say? Oh, that's easy. If I stick with what the Bible says, I will have a lot less misery in my life. I won't get myself into trouble. The law of volitional responsibility is how you get yourself into trouble. And you are responsible for every decision that you make, me and you. And so we have categories in our life that we must look at. What we think, what motivates us, the decisions we make, and the actions we accomplish. And this is the interesting thing about God. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what our motives are. He knows what our decisions are going to be. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And He sees the end results of our actions. And so as we think negative volition, we think wrong. We wrong think. Thinking wrong is thinking human viewpoint. The cosmic system offers you a mirage of answers. But none of them are true. You know, like happiness belongs to people. Happiness belongs to circumstances. If I could just win the lottery, I'd be happy. If I could just meet the right woman, I'd be happy. If I could just meet the right man, I'd be happy. If I just had this, had that, I'd be happy. Happiness is not related to circumstances. Happiness is related to thinking clearly what the Word of God says, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, said it Himself. In Luke 11:27-28, happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. So wrong thinking will bring self-imposed misery into your life. Wrong thinking or negative thinking includes having a bad mental attitude, such as, you know, mental attitude sins like jealousy, hatred, bitterness, vindictiveness. All these things form from the arrogance in your own soul, self-centered arrogance. Because the arrogant person doesn't see himself as he really is. He actually sees himself as he thinks he is. And if he thinks he's something, he can't see any bad decisions that he makes. I mean, you've been around people that are never wrong. You've been around people that always got to have the last word. You've been around sarcastic people that just drive you crazy because they always have some snide comment to make. And you can think wrong about these people, like I'd like to bust them in the mouth sometime, but that's not the answer. Wrong mental attitudes, all forms of arrogance, busting somebody in the mouth will not solve the problem. Everything by which you react to life in your thinking, you can react in a lot of different ways. Emotional reaction, you know, revenge motivation, but negative thinking, wrong thinking, revenge motivation, it's self-imposed misery in your life. So you can make yourself miserable. You have the ability to make yourself miserable. And some of the problems you're facing even today as you listen to me, problems that are causing you consternation and misery, are there because you made a bad decision. So, we enter into self-imposed misery long before we make any decisions that cause us self-induced misery. We get this self-imposed misery by thinking wrong, and then we do the action wrong, and that brings self-induced misery. So wrong attitudes bring wrong actions, and wrong actions bring problems. Negative or wrong decisions is self-induced misery. Negative or wrong actions, once you think about it and then you do it, well, that's called self-gratification. If you make an impulsive, wrong decision, it's self-gratification, and it can bring self-induced misery. Listen to what the Bible says. I hope I'm not confusing you with this. Wrong thinking, wrong decisions, wrong actions. Wrong thinking leads to wrong decisions. Wrong decisions lead to wrong actions. Hosea 8:7 says, "They who sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind." Is it windy where you live? Are you having a little whirlwind twirl around you this morning? Maybe it's because you made a bad decision. Is there a way out of that? Absolutely. Yes. First of all, we do what the Bible said. We recognize the problem. So we have to recon our life, and we say, okay, do a reconnoiter, I'm going to see this, okay. Now I'm going to confess what I see. I'm going to rebound. After I recon, I rebound. Rebound is 1 John 1:9, problem-solving device number one on the flat line of your soul. Rebound means if we confess our sin, He, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we recon, we rebound, and then we resume our spiritual advance. So Hosea 8:7, those who sow to the wind will reap the whirlwind. That's true, but there's a way out of that storm in your life. In Colossians 3:25, Paul wrote these words, "He who does wrong will receive the consequences of that wrong which he's done. And there is no partiality from God." There are people listening to me today that are incarcerated because they made a wrong decision. Maybe they made an emotional decision, and it brought something wrong action. And now they are incarcerated because of those consequences. They don't have to remain that way forever. Maybe their time will be up soon. They can get out and resume a normal life. We wrote a book called A Divine Pardon. We've given away thousands of these books to penal institutions across America. It's about how Jesus Christ pardoned the criminal on the cross and will pardon you as well. If you'd like to have a copy of Divine Pardon, write to us. Don't send money, just write to us. Rick Hughes Ministries, P.O. Box 100, in the mighty city of Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell. That's C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. You can find that on our website, rickhughesministries.org. You can order that book, A Divine Pardon. And if you have someone that is incarcerated and you'd like to get them one, let us know. We have a wonderful friend who has a tremendous prison ministry, and he can probably get it in for them. So give us a shout if you need that book. But that book on divine pardon is a book that God has used in a lot of ways. Now, there are seven categories of wrong decisions. I don't know if I'll mention them all here, but they all produce self-induced misery under this law of volitional responsibility. You can make a wrong decision based on a sin. You know, your sin nature tempts you. Don't say the devil's tempting you, because he's not. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not able to be in America and France and Great Britain and Russia at the same time. He can only be one place at one time. He's a created being. So for you to assume that the devil is tempting you is kind of ludicrous. The Bible says you have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the world may tempt you, and the flesh may tempt you. So if you make a bad decision based on the temptation of the flesh, then you may have sex lust, power lust, ego lust, money lust. I mean, it's every day you read about someone making a bad decision based on a lust pattern in their life. Those bad decisions bring about self-induced misery. When we sin, if we fail to confess that sin, then we come under divine discipline. And so there's also another category of self-induced misery called wrong decisions based on human good. The ultimate human good we see propagated today in our society is socialism. If we can put a chicken in everybody's pot, then everybody will be fine. If we take money from the rich and give it to the disadvantaged, then everybody will be equal. It fails to take into consideration what my pastor has said many times. Man is just no good. Man has a sin nature, and nothing that you can do is going to control that sin nature other than the rebirth experience and God the Holy Spirit combined with the power of the Word of God in that soul. But putting people on a level playing field by what they claim to be socialism, that's not going to change anything. There'll still be hatred, there'll still be bitterness, there'll still be resentment, because that's the part of the sin nature they can't correct. So if you get into human good, socialism, put a chicken in everybody's pot, maybe a wrong decision resulting in some sort of evil, like you're going to try to clean up the devil's world. Are you kidding me? How are you going to clean up the devil's world? Are you going to march down to the dirty bookstore and get a placard and say anybody that walks in here is going to go to hell? What are you going to get out and demonstrate and you're going to change the world? Listen, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He doesn't want you to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be that invisible spiritual professional. He wants you to get out and make an idiot out of yourself so that people see you on the side of the street with a sign in your hand and they go on the other side. They're tired of getting beat over the head by self-righteous individuals that want to tell everybody how they're going to hell because of how they're living. So this evil, this is not grace. Evil is Satan's genius taking grace and twisting it. So, for example, grace says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast about it." But the evil of the genius of Satan would say, "For by grace are you saved through faith," and then he may inject something. And giving up peanuts. No more peanuts. Eat a peanut, you're not going to go to heaven anymore. So he's going to add something to it. Self-righteous legalism always adds something to the grace of God. And that's not salvation. That's not God's plan. You know, you can read in Luke 18 about the two men that went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and said, "Thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. I'm a good person, and I pray, and I fast, and I tithe." And the other person just beat on his chest and said, "God, have mercy to me, a sinner." Wrong decisions resulting in evil actions promoting the devil's world. Wrong decisions based on erroneous emotions. That's the worst reason to ever make a decision. An emotional decision. Emotions don't think. Emotions are irrational, and they're wonderful if given in the right place. God gave you emotions, and you should use them correctly, but not to make decisions, to use them for appreciation. You should have appreciation for your grandchildren. You should have appreciation for beauty. You should have appreciation for art. You should have appreciation for your team or whatever, but not let your emotions dictate what you do. I remember not too long ago in Alabama, there was a man who hated one of our universities. And he decided that he would go to that university and poison these famous trees on that university campus. Trees that had been there over 100 years. So he went down and he poured some kind of poison all in the roots and then called a radio talk show and admitted that he did it. An emotional decision based on hatred for that university over a football team. That's the goofiest thing you've ever heard of, but that's what emotions do. They don't think. They don't rationalize. They don't have any common sense. Emotions just act. And then you can make wrong decisions based on bad judgment. And that's very common. You know that. It's due to a lack of common sense. You're just disoriented to life. You don't know your own limits. And so you think, if I could just get that new job, if I could be the head of this company, I could straighten this company out. Well, no, you can't. Was probably one of the reasons you're not head of the company. People that are head of the company had the moral courage to invest millions of dollars while you sit back, invest nothing but complain and gripe about it. And so you don't know your own limits. So when you finally slander and lie and malign about people and run people down and get them fired so you can get promoted, and then the truth comes out, you really don't know what you're doing. You're in big trouble. You didn't know your limits. And that's a man's got to know his limits. Wrong decisions based on your lust patterns, as I mentioned earlier. But some of the worst are the wrong decisions based on false teaching. Wrong teaching. I have seen this in my life. I'm so sorry to have seen it. People that were solid, sound, fundamentally correct people change the way they think. And all of a sudden, they no longer think logically. They've now gone to think differently. We're not even on the same page anymore, and they convince their friends that they are right because their friends have absolute trust in them. It's really bad when it happens to a pastor, and he changes his whole direction and takes his congregation with him and wind up teaching something that's not truth. You know, we're all on the same team. That's not the problem. We just don't all have the same playbook. The playbook, obviously, is the Word of God. Systematic, sound Bible teaching, dispensational, systematic, sound Bible teaching, line by line, word by word. Do we take the Bible literally? Absolutely. We don't take it literarily, we take it literally. And so as we learn and apply and grow, lag, L-A-G, learn, apply, glorify God, then we stay out of those bad decisions. Because when you make bad decisions, you get self-induced misery along with divine discipline from God. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of God's punishment will surely come. You haven't been punished until God smacks you down a few times for your stupidity, because you fail to see your own arrogance. And it happens. It's happened to me. And it will happen to you if you don't wise up and get with it. Proverbs 11:22, as a golden ring in a pig's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. One of the most dangerous things in the world is a beautiful woman who has no discretion. She doesn't have any insight. She gets carried away with her own beauty, and she makes bad decisions in her attitude and brings on to her life self-imposed misery. Now, an ugly person can do the same thing, obviously. Yes, my pastor said that years ago. But it's particularly true when someone is trying to gain an advantage in life based on their looks. In Proverbs 12:13, and the transgression of the lips, that's the sin of your big mouth. Running someone down, lying, gossiping, slandering. In the sin of your big mouth is an evil snare, but the righteous will escape this misery, this trouble. Have you ever sat down at dinner and talked about the neighbors? Have you ever maligned the guy across the street? Have you ever maligned the guy around the corner? Have you ever sat down and because you don't like somebody, talked about him over the meal? There's nothing worse than that sort of gossip and slander and maligning. If there's anything a Christian must do, he must keep his nose out of other people's business and obviously not judge them. However, the arrogant person would never see that. They would think they're totally right, and they would not like you pointing it out to them. I've been in situations like that, and I did not attempt to point out the idiocy of what these people were doing. I just kept my mouth shut and sat there. But you hear it, and it just makes you nauseated. So get out and get away, go around, go home, leave those people behind. Every time you judge, malign, gossip, run someone else down, then you manufacture misery for your own life. The righteous here isn't someone who's perfect, but it's someone who doesn't gossip, who doesn't malign, and who doesn't judge other people. So Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer misery. That's good advice. Stay away from the idiots, because as they make their own self miserable, they will make you miserable. If you associate with the wrong crowd, you're making a decision that will cause you a tremendous amount of unhappiness in your life. Better is a dish of cabbage where love is than the Chateaubriand and hatred with it. Proverbs 15:17. In other words, you must not only choose your food, but you must choose who you associate with. You want to associate with someone? Proverbs 15:33. Occupation with the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor there must come humility. Good decisions in your life, based on divine viewpoint thinking, combined with humility and volitional positive volition, will eventually lead to honor in your life, and you will be able to use virtue love as a problem-solving device. There's a lot more to say about volition. I hope it's clicking. I hope it's making sense. I've been pretty straightforward this morning. I'll try to come back next Sunday and do the same thing if you'll show back up and listen. Again, this is Rick Hughes, rickhughesministries.org. If you need something, just get in touch with us. We'll be glad to get it right on out to you. So until next Sunday, same time, same station, same place, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. Please, for the next few minutes, stay with me. Just a short time of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education. And you remember, we do it without manipulation. We don't try to con people. We're not soliciting you for money. We're not asking you to join anything. The objective of this show is to simply give you accurate information. Hopefully, information that will help you verify as well as identify God's plan for your life so that you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to. That's really up to you. But The Flatline has been on the air for 13 years. Many of you have been listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me know the show is playing in your area. I'm very grateful when my spotters out there say, yes, it did play today. Good. We like to hear that. And if you have anything you'd like to send us and tell us that you're learning, always love to hear from you. You can email us from our website, rick@rickhughesministries.org. rick@rickhughesministries.org. Or simply go to rickhughesministries.org and you'll see how to email from there. And, of course, we have our material that's available, books and different things that we've written and we published free of charge, never a charge, for anything we do on this radio station. We believe in operating by grace, That means if God's in it, he'll pay for it. If not, we'll shut the doors and go do something else. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Please listen up today. You may remember last Sunday we talked about the core values of the mature believer. Those core values are built around the flat line in your soul, which is made up of those 10 problem-solving devices. 10 unique problem-solving devices taught in the Word of God. Beginning with the rebound technique, it solves the problem of sin. Moving to the filling of the Holy Spirit, that solves the problem of the genetically formed sin nature that wants to control your life. Moving to the problem-solving device of the faith rest drill, that solves the problem of unforeseen circumstances and disasters that may hit your life. And then moving into grace orientation as a problem-solving device, understanding we're saved by grace, we live by grace, we treat others in grace. Moving from there into doctrinal orientation, which means that we now begin to develop a new way of thinking. We make a course adjustment in our life. We begin to think with terms of divine viewpoint instead of human viewpoint. And that comes from the Bible doctrine in our soul. This gives us another problem-solving device called having a personal sense of destiny. Beginning to realize that my life is about more than just me. Beginning to understand what God's plan for me is, what my spiritual gift is, and where I fit into this thing. It's a wonderful thing to walk through the door with a personal sense of destiny and leave your agenda behind. This is all developed by personal love for God, which is a problem-solving device, our greatest virtue we have. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey me, and my mandates are not hard. That's 1 John 5:3. So virtue love is the greatest motivation for the believer. We love him, the Bible says, because he first loved us in 1 John. And he did for John 3:16. God so loved the world. He loved you and loved me before we even thought about him. And so from personal love for God, we develop the problem-solving device of impersonal love for others. This lets us deal with people that don't necessarily like us, people that we don't necessarily like ourselves, people that are weird, obnoxious, rude. We can still love them through using impersonal love in our lives. It's a wonderful operational tool for you. Then this leads us to sharing the happiness of God, plus H, the happiness of God. What a wonderful way to live. Jesus talked about it. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. So it is possible for you to have a lifestyle of happiness in your life. And from there to move into occupation with Christ, the final problem-solving device for us. If it's no longer I, but Christ in me, Paul talked about. For me to live is Christ, to die is profit. So there we have it. These are 10 unique problem-solving devices that we could go into in great depth on each one of them. And we may do that soon. We may go back through and review all of those. But those are where your core values come in. Without understanding core values, you can never have the fundamental beliefs that you need to sustain your life in the devil's world. They are the guiding principles in your life that should dictate your behavior and help you understand the difference between right and wrong. It's sometimes hard to understand what evil is. Evil is a genius Satan. The genius of Satan is called evil. And the most evil thing in the world is organized religion. It was organized religion that crucified our Lord, and it is organized religion that opposes grace today. So if we operate with these core values, we have a divine establishment system in our soul. We're called the royal family. So we learn the royal family honor code. I hope you've heard me talk about that last week. There is a code for the aristocracy of those who are in Christ Jesus. It's an honor code, and it relates to personal integrity in our relationship with others using impersonal love. And only can that function as we are filled with God's Holy Spirit through rebound, as we learn the word and make a course correction in our thinking and treat people in grace, then our destiny becomes clear to us. So this code we develop, this code we adhere to in our life is essential. And therefore, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:15, we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. If you must be approved, then obviously you could be disapproved. That doesn't mean you're not saved anymore. It just means that God said, nope, you're not cutting it. It's like the football player that has all the talent and all the strength and speed and beauty and all of that, but he doesn't know the plays, so the coach can't trust him, can't put him in the game. He doesn't know the plays. As a member of God's royal family, you must know the plays. You must understand the code of ethics that are in the Word of God. You must understand that aristocracy of the royal family has a standard based on the example set by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's essential that we understand God's protocol plan, because that's where the honor is produced. That's where the integrity comes from, the protocol plan of God, and which simply means a right thing must be done in a right way, because absolute truth will tolerate nothing less than honor and integrity and virtue. All of that comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit and the perception and the application of God's Word in your life. That's called spiritual growth. That's where you begin to develop integrity. So, it starts with spiritual self-esteem, which is an attitude of self-confidence, not having to depend on other people. A lot of people have this dependency on others. They have to go to others to get advice, go to others to tell them what to do. You really don't have to do that. As you learn God's Word under a well-qualified pastor, you are perfectly capable of handling every situation in your life. You're perfectly capable of knowing the solutions and what you should do and not do. I mean, I understand. When I first became a Christian, there was much I didn't know. I went to people and asked them, and I got a lot of goofy answers. I mean, everything from play the tambourine and sing Do Lord to you can't drive a certain automobile. You have to dress a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. There was so much legalism, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't know what legalism even was, but I tried to fit into the mold that they wanted me to fit into, and obviously it didn't work for me. And, of course, they wrote me off and said, what a loser he is, you know. So I had to find my own pastor who taught me God's Word, taught me what the real Christian life is about, and I was able to study and grow and learn just like you, and make the adjustments in my life. And now we've been in the ministry 50 years now, 50 years of serving our Savior, speaking in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of schools, hundreds of radio shows. And it's amazing how every now and then I run across people who listen to this show who want to straighten me out, want to tell me that I'm wrong, and don't mind sending emails and telling you, you need to listen to me, brother. I could straighten you out. I don't need straightening out. I'm just fine, so keep your emails. But you can pray for me always. If I'm wrong, if I'm wrongly arrogant, then the Lord will let me know. Because we have a law of volitional responsibility. This is what I want to go over with you today. You have a volition. When we talk about this 10 problem-solving devices, the only way you can learn them is to exercise your volition. God gave you a chooser. It's part of the format of your soul, mentality, and volition. Volition is you saying, yes, I will do that, or you saying, no, I won't do that. You use your volition every day. You walk into the grocery store and you say, yes, I will buy that one, and no, I won't buy that one. You choose. And under the law of volitional responsibility, it's possible. For you and I, it's possible, listen carefully, that we can cause our own misery and our own suffering. It's the most common and the first cause for the human law of volitional responsibility, suffering in general. We can create a mess in our life because we go negative to God's Word. We can create suffering in our life from our own bad decisions. As a matter of fact, I'll go out on a limb and I'll say that probably 90% of the suffering that you and I go through is because we mismanage our money, we mismanage our health, or we mismanage our relationships with other people. And then there's the 10% suffering, which is divine discipline with God taking us to the woodshed to straighten us out every now and then. I'm sure you've been there. I'm sure you've been in the woodshed with the Lord, and He got your attention, didn't He? And maybe for a while you say, I'm going to do better, Lord, I'm going to do better, and then you're right back to letting your sin nature dictate policy. Your volition doesn't have the strength to say no. Well, I'm sorry, but the Christian life must be lived by your volition. No one else can live it for you. No one else can decide what you should or should not do. You have to make the decision, which means you have to have a desire. If you don't have the desire or the courage to live up to the mandates that God gives, then all of your life you're going to be a very weak believer, and all of your life you're going to vacillate between the spiritual life and the trends of the sin nature. So every one of us, we must take responsibility for our own decisions, for our own actions. We can't blame other people for our own misery. Our unhappiness, our suffering, is sometimes brought on by our own bad decisions. We made it. Volitional decisions. Bad decisions limit future options. I have a bumper sticker that says that. You may want one, right? We'll send it to you. You may want to put it in your kitchen, on your car, in the back of your Bible, whatever. Bad decisions limit future options. Because you must take responsibility yourself based on your own bad decisions. Related sometimes to your associations with people, sometimes to your activities that you got involved with, sometimes your motives, sometimes your function in life. There are people listening to me today that are incarcerated. They made a bad decision, and bad decisions limited their future options. You need to remember this, because there will come a time when you'll be free, and you can't afford to make those mistakes again. So it's inevitable that throughout all of our life, as Christians, we are going to sin. That's obvious. We have a sin nature. And we're not perfect. That's why God provided rebound for us, so that we could recover from our sin by using 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. So it's inevitable we'll sin. It's also inevitable that we're going to get into some sort of human good, which is nothing but pure evil. That's not following the protocol plan of God, not doing a right thing in a right way, but maybe doing a right thing, but not in the right way. You know, human good. A lot of Christians fall into this human good, and they want to pick up all the garbage in the world, feed all the hungry in the world, take care of all the babies in the world, and those are all fine and noble things, but that doesn't solve the problems of the world. The only thing that will solve the problems of the world is salvation through faith alone in Christ alone. Only when man gets a new heart can the sin nature be contained. And so we can pick up all the trash, we can feed all the hungry, but nobody's going to contain the sin nature until the Holy Spirit moves in. And that only happens at the rebirth, when we reboot, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, even then, we must exercise our volition to stay in fellowship with God. Because volition is why we sin. Volition is the case for sin. You decided to do it. You chose to do it. Even in insanity or neurosis or psychosis, sociopathic behavior, it's volition. The psychiatrist, psychologist will tell you that. We are a product of our volition. And what causes our volition to go negative is nothing but pure arrogance. I know people today that are negative about certain things. They're arrogant because they think they're smarter. Some think they're smarter than the president. Some think they're smarter than the Congress. Some think they're smarter than their pastor. Some think they're smarter than their spouse. And they use their arrogance to be negative to anything that particular person says. So Galatians 6:7 states this law about volitional responsibility. Here's what Paul wrote. Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. When we sow to the wind, the Bible says, we reap the whirlwind. And so under the law of volitional responsibility, we inflict on ourselves unbearable suffering, unbearable suffering from the following categories. Personal sin. We sin. We don't rebound. We get under warning discipline. We get under intense discipline. We may even move into dying discipline. You say, what are those three things? Well, when you sin and fail to rebound, whether it's a mental attitude sin, whether it's a sin of the tongue, or whether it's an overt sin, whatever sin you commit, when you fail to rebound, God will warn you. The Holy Spirit will convict you. You will know you have broken God's law. You're out of fellowship. This doesn't mean that you're out of fellowship because you ate one too many pieces of chicken or because you drank one too many sodas. That's not what I'm talking about. When you sin, mental sin, worry, fear, antagonism, hatred, bitterness, when you sin of the tongue, gossip, malign, criticizing, backbiting, when you sin overtly, stealing and murder and other overt sins that may go along with something like that, adultery, fornication, things like that, these are overt sins. So the Holy Spirit will nail you. He will tell you, you just blew it, Buster. You just committed a sin. And when you don't rebound, when you don't admit the sin to God, when you forget it and go on down the my way highway, or you cover it up, you are guaranteeing one thing. The hammer is going to fall in your life. And that may be why you're suffering today. Maybe you've been so arrogant, you've never admitted that. But the hammer may be on you right now, and God may be driving you 6 feet under eventually. Because warning discipline leads to intense discipline. Hebrews 12:6 says, those that I love, I scourge. Sometimes he really puts the hammer to us. Why? Because he's mad at us? No. Because he's trying to keep us from self-destructing. You may be on the road to self-destruction right now, and the warning discipline of God and the intense discipline of God may be trying to deliver you from sin nature domination. And unless you rebound, unless you recover, unless you make a course correction, unless you begin to take in the Word of God on a consistent basis, you will not last much longer. You're going to ruin your life and probably ruin the lives of those associated with you because of your own arrogance. And what a shame it is. So that is the law of volitional responsibility for you and for me. We both have the ability to destroy our lives and destroy the lives of those associated with us. You can't let that happen. We have to have positive volition, listening to the Word of God, following the leadership of God the Holy Spirit, not listening to the sin nature and the lies that Satan may perpetuate, like this will make you happy, that will make you happy, you know, the happiness is related to people or circumstances. That's just not true. So, under the law of volitional responsibility, we inflict on ourselves unbearable suffering by personal sin. Sometimes we get into moral or immoral degeneracy. And by living in the cosmic system, the devil's world, we wind up quenching the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. Thus, we wind up with any lack of common sense and make just a lot of bad judgment because we get very subjective. You see, if you overestimate your own ability or you fail to see yourself in light of reality, you're just going to destroy any opportunity you have for happiness in your life. If you overestimate your abilities, fail to see yourself in light of reality, you're going to destroy any capacity for happiness you could ever have in your life. Because both believers and unbelievers do function under this law. What law? The law of volitional responsibility. Believers and unbelievers, not only from sin, but also people can violate the laws of divine establishment. These are the operational laws for the entire human race within the framework of a national entity. The laws of divine establishment, freedom, marriage, family, nationalism. And there's intense suffering from violating these laws and from violating the sacredness of life and property and privacy by means of criminal acts. There's also suffering from the rejection of responsibilities. It's all volitionally related. It's all part of your volition. If you stole, you chose to steal. If you injured, you chose to injure. If you lied, you chose to lie. If you got drunk, you chose to get drunk. If you committed adultery, you chose to commit adultery. See, many of our wrong decisions come from our own arrogance. We don't see ourselves as we really are. We see ourselves as we think we are. Or we don't want to look at all at ourselves. We just want to feed our desires. And we've all been there. I've been there, and you have too. And so many wrong decisions come from arrogance. And God can protect us from this. He has. He gave us parents. He gave us pastor teachers. He gave us coaches, bosses. I mean, what happens is God puts us under legitimate forms of authority. That's not to intimidate us. That's to protect us from who? From ourselves. That's why you have parents. That's why you have police officers. That's why you have pastors, to protect you from yourself. You know why? Because we're just naturally fools. We're fools since the fall of Adam. Adam was a fool to ever do what he did, but he chose. He made a volitional decision. He took a look at Eve, took a look at the forbidden fruit. He recognized that she was in deep trouble, and maybe if he just went ahead and took a bite, they wouldn't both get fined. Whatever his motivation was, he fell for the lie. The lie is that God is trying to keep something from you, and he doesn't want you to know these things, Satan told Eve. And if you eat this, you'll be just as wise as God is. And she took a chump, and she found out she was not as wise as God. Many wrong decisions come from our own arrogance, and because we're just fools. This is proved by the tremendous amount of suffering we experience, not only in our own personal lives, but in our nation. All throughout human history, you know, history proves one thing, it repeats itself. And if there's ever been a nation that's foolish, it's America. Because we make a lot of foolish laws, legislate a lot of foolish things that are completely opposite of the establishment principles taught in the Word of God. And if we can continue to exist as a free nation for the next 20 years, it'll be a miracle. And you need to prepare your children and your grandchildren for what's coming, because if you look at the news and you pay attention, you can see what's around the corner. And we are in a critical time in history. So we've all been born with this handicap, you know, a genetic handicap sometimes. Maybe your parents were alcoholics, so if you take a drink, you're going to be alcoholic. But you can also acquire environmental flaws. You know, you can get into a pattern of doing things, and the end result is you get hooked on them yourself, like drug abuse. And you may start into drug abuse and get hooked on it, and you have a flaw that you've acquired. You acquired a flaw. Genetically, it's out there, but some people just acquire it by their own decision. It all ends up being suffering. It all ends up being a miserable life because we manufacture our own problems. And we manufacture our own suffering. Here's what God manufactures. Listen carefully. God manufactures solutions and blessings in the middle of your suffering, because only God has provided a system to turn that cursing into blessing. Did you know that? When you rebound, when you confess your sin to God, He can turn the cursing into blessing. Now, there are a lot of ways to make yourself miserable under the law of volitional responsibility, and I'm going to have to come back next week and maybe talk about some more of this, but let's talk about turning cursing into blessing. If you're under discipline now, if you're suffering now because of your continual bad decisions, if you will go to your Father and admit your sin, He will be faithful and just to forgive you. What happens is you've acquired scar tissue in your life. You wound up searing your soul. You wound up quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is to get Him back in control by confessing your sin. And the second thing is to purge yourself with the Word of God, to cleanse out that evil, wicked, wrong thinking by the pure water of the Word. 1 Peter talks about this in 1:21. So that's your option. You can continue the life you're in, continue to be miserable until you wind up self-destructing, or you can confess your sin to God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, reboot your life, and change your course by thinking divine viewpoint, learning God's Word and applying it into your life. It's a short solution, short message, short answer.